today.
Lots of things going on here. We'll do a few headlines here and then say hello to Henry. Then I'm going to read something short that I think will be very interesting for all of us out there. Headline, Centers for Disease Control now says 85% of COVID-19 patients report always or often wearing a mask. Make of that what you will. Are they wearing them properly? Are they using proper hygiene, putting them on, taking them off? We don't know. But 85% of COVID-19 patients report always or often wearing a mask. Donald Trump says the miracle antibody treatment that he got will soon get emergency use approval. Dr. Fauci says the U.S. faces, quote, a whole lot of trouble as the coronavirus cases rise heading into flu season and winter. All right. Let's see. After the World Health Organization big flip-flop, former FDA chief says no reason, there is none, for another round of lockdowns in the U.S. The WHO let the cat out of the bag. Coronavirus is now more about politics than public health. This is another interesting little look. That World Health Organization chief, Tedros, guy seems like a real thug to me, says that herd immunity as an approach to the pandemic is unethical. Okay. The World Health Organization and that flip-flop now claims it never liked lockdowns. All right, this is causing a lot of commotion. So once again, as I said weeks ago, the texture of the whole thing has gotten real raw and rough. Now I'm going to read just two or three paragraphs in just a minute, but let's bring Dr. Henry Nyman on and say hello. Hello, Henry.
Hello, Jeff. A lot going on. Including breaking news. You didn't hit that in the titles, in your titles. So.
All right, give us the breaking news. I'll read my little thing here in a minute. Go ahead.
Johnson & Johnson faltered their vaccine trial due to an adverse response for unknown reasons.
Different vax than the other one. That's not AstraZeneca or Zeneca or whatever the heck it is. This is Johnson & Johnson.
AstraZeneca, right. This is Johnson & Johnson. But it is adenovirus-based. It only requires one shot. And they just started phase three trials less than 3 weeks ago on the 23rd of last month.
No word about what the adverse reaction was involving, huh? Not yet.
No, but they basically said that it met the guidelines for halting. So there's no new patients are being enrolled. It's halted right now until it's paused until they understand what caused the adverse. Result, they kind of gave this vague, they don't know for sure whether it was in the vaccine or in the placebo. They have to investigate it. They don't want to give out more information before they have more information. It really sounds a lot like the transverse myelitis again. It has to be a significant event. The timing on this was very similar to the two halts by AstraZeneca. Both of them happened right after they started either the phase one trial or the phase three trial. So it happened almost immediately. Their explanations remain suspect. They said the first one was due to underlying an undiagnosed MS. ideology, and the second one, they originally called it transverse myelitis. And they said, well, they don't know for sure that's what it was. It's still under investigation. Mm-hmm. I hadn't really heard an update as to what they concluded, but the trial remains halted in the U.S. So the AstraZeneca has not resumed its trial.
What do we know about the two victims of the side effects, or whatever you want to call them? What do we know? Anything? Have they recovered from the myelitis?
No, I didn't hear an update. They said they were investigating it. They haven't admitted that the second one is definitely myelitis. They originally called it myelitis. Then they issued another press release that said that they hadn't proven it was myelitis and it was under investigation. The first one they originally called myelitis, and then they said they discovered an underlying MS. But they're not that different. They're both neurological, and it's conceivable. Well, I don't know. They may have more information, but theoretically, it's possible that the MS was caused by the vaccine also. There would be some similarities between that and the transverse myelitis.
Well, if they're adenovirus-based, I think you're run right in the right direction here. Sure.
Well, I don't know if it's the adenovirus or if it's just a spike protein. So it's not clear. It might be that combination. Mm-hmm. And they haven't said for sure what it was. But it had to be fairly serious to pause the trial and to pause all enrollment. So it's a it's a significant halt, and generally these halts take a little while to resolve, to figure out what's going on.
Those are the two big ones over here.
Unless it actually is in the placebo. I mean, if it's in the placebo, then it's probably just a coincidence. But
wouldn't they rush to tell us that, though?
Well, they specifically said they didn't know which one it was in. That was in contrast to the AstraZeneca. They said in that conference call that it was in the patient. So they had the same question because it's a blinded study. And by the time they made the conference call, they had determined that it was a patient and not a placebo. Now, I would have thought that that would have been the first thing they did. So the fact that they're saying they don't know, you know, kind of is like, well, they probably knew 5 minutes after they said they didn't know, and they haven't really said what it is. If it was the placebo, the halt would have, they would have announced the halt and they would have announced that they resumed.
Of course.
Because it was in the placebo. So they haven't said it's resumed yet. So I would assume that it's in the vaccine, and I would assume that the similarities on the timing and the fact that they did do this halt makes me think that it's going to end up being something similar. It's going to be something neurological.
Not good for those two.
Right. So the issue is whether it's the combination and it only affects the adenovirus based vaccines, or whether it really has to do with the spike protein, and the adenovirus makes it easier for this, makes the spike protein more immunogenic, leading to this type of collateral damage from the vaccine.
A nasty thing, potentially, from what I've read.
Well, no, that would be, if they confirm that it's transverse myelitis, I think that would close down both vaccine candidates, AstraZeneca and JNJ.
I think.
Right, right. Because that's what I said. After the second one, I said, you know, three strikes, you're out. If that happens again, that's going to be it. And it may have happened again.
They're going to sit on it.
Well, I don't think they'll sit long. No, I don't think they'll sit on it that long. If it's the same one, you know, they're going to get a lot of inquiries. I mean, everybody's going to ask the same question.
Oh, I'm sure they're getting them right now.
Right. And so I don't know if they're going to sit on it that long, because, like I said, I would think the first thing they would do is to find out whether it's in the vaccine or the placebo. So I would think that they would almost have to give that answer by tomorrow. And then when, you know, the question could be general. I mean, they're going to say, oh, they want to protect the confidentiality of the patient, of the volunteer who's in the study, da 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 da. But you know, they'll start with the general. Well, was it neurological in nature? And you know, that'll be hard to, if it's what I think it is. You know, if it's anything like this, they're going to have to say yes to that. And so.
Well, you can't, like you say, you can't hide it for very long.
They can stone the wall very long, right.
No.
And then they can do the other one. You know, it's under investigation to know exactly what it was and whether it was transverse myelitis or it was MS or if it was something unrelated. But if they get to the neurological part, if it's neurological and in the vaccine, then, you know, I don't think the AstraZeneca is going to start anytime soon in the U.S. And it may
I think you're right. I think that's the end of both of those prototypes.
Right.
I think that they have to just
hang
it up.
So anyway, that's the breaking news, and it's literally, it just came out tonight, and so it's
thank you. Very good.
It doesn't really have answers yet, but it's a very big red flag. Okay, so Trump has not taken it in contrast to what his son said, because his son apparently doesn't know what a vaccine is, but he said his father took the
vaccine.
Well,
you gotta give him time, Henry. Give him time. It's only been 9 months. It's all right. He'll figure it out.
Right. Well,
your phone is a little bit squirrely
here.
Pull that phone away from your mouth a little bit. Let's see if this helps.
Okay, is that better?
No. Are you on a landline?
No.
Is that a yes or a no?
All
right.
No.
Todd, call him back, please. Henry, go ahead and hang up. We're going to call you right back.
Okay. Yeah, you're getting close to here, too, now.
Okay. Yeah, hang up. All right. We're going to call him right back. It was fine in the beginning, and then it just... Anyway, that'll be the end of those two. Johnson & Johnson and AstraZeneca are out of the game here. And they got a lot of money already. I think they have billions of dollars of profits at stake. They don't they don't want to be kicked out of the sweepstakes. So we'll see. But I don't see the AstraZeneca product restarting phase three at all. Not with two people hit with that. That transverse myelitis is not a joke. That's bad. When we get him back on here, we'll see. Meanwhile, the Russian vaccine called Sputnik V, no volunteers who have been inoculated with Russia's Sputnik V vaccine have become infected. That's what the Gamaleya Institute over there says. So far, they're doing very well.
Okay,
Henry.
I don't know if this is better or not. He said it was a little fuzzy.
I'm here. You're dropping out a little bit to what's happening, and then there's fuzz on top of it. Let's give it a few more minutes. And do you have a landline you could go to if we have to?
No, I could try a different cell.
I think we might want to think about that. Yeah, let me do this here real quick. No volunteers so far who have been inoculated with Russia's Sputnik V vaccine have purportedly become infected with coronavirus. That's the institute over there, Gamaleya, and they're pretty happy so far. So far.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Well, you want to try this phone for a little bit more and see if it's better?
No, it's worse. It's worse. Go ahead and hang up. Wait a minute. Give Todd, take him off air, please, and get his other number from him, and then we'll call him back. I don't think he wants to give it out over, if you can do that. Otherwise, he's going to have to email me, and I'll email you. But I think that'll work. Okay. All right. Now, let me go back up here. I don't want to read my little thing yet, but I will when we get Henry back. Where is that piece? There it is. Fauci on CNBC. We've talked on this program for a long time about flu season, the flu vax, and coronavirus. Those two main line contenders getting in there. If they get in the ring with us, it's going to be two against one, and that's not going to be good. Here's what Fauci said. The U.S. is facing a whole lot of trouble as coronavirus cases continue to surge across the country and so forth. All right, Henry?
Yeah, I'm here. So is this better?
Yeah, you're good. You're good. Okay. Now, let me read this little vignette. I think it'll be very instructive. It's not very long. This is an excerpt from the Washington Post called Voices from the Pandemic. All right. Okay. What are we so afraid of? Said Tony Green on dismissing, denying, contracting, and spreading the coronavirus. All right. Here's what, what Tony Green had to say. He said, I told myself it wouldn't be that bad. It's the flu. It's basically just the flu. I didn't have the horrible cough you keep hearing about. My breathing never got too terrible. My fever peaked for like maybe a day at 100.5, which is nothing. Barely worth mentioning. All right, I got this. See, it was nothing. But then some of the other symptoms started to get wild. I was sweating profusely. I would wake up in a pool of sweat. I had this tingling feeling all over my body, this radiating kind of pain. Do you remember those old space heaters that you'd plug in and the red lines would light up and glow, those coils? I felt like that was happening inside my bones. I was burning from the inside out. I was buzzing. I was dizzy. I couldn't even turn my head around to look at the TV. I felt like my eyeballs were in a fishbowl, just bopping around. I rubbed icy hot all over my head. It was nonstop headaches and sweating for probably about a week, and then it just went away. I got some of my energy back. I had a few really good days. I started working on projects around the house again. I was thinking, okay, that's it. Pretty bad, but not so terrible. I beat it. I managed it. Nothing worth shutting down the entire world over. But then, one day, I was walking up the stairs, and all of a sudden, I couldn't breathe. I screamed and fell flat on my face. I blacked out. I woke up a little while later in the ER, and 10 doctors were standing around me in a circle. I was lying on the table after going through a CAT scan. The doctors told me the virus had attacked my central nervous system. They'd given me some medications that stopped me from having a massive stroke. They said I was 1 or 2 minutes away from just that. I stayed in the hospital for 3 days trying to get my mind around it. It was guilt, embarrassment, shame. I thought, okay, maybe now I've paid for my mistake. End quote. So there's one example.
Yeah, well, that's what the problem is with the virus. It can attack a lot of different tissues and cause a lot of different problems. And kind of like, it seems to go away and then it comes back. And that's the reason when you talk about how many are dead or how old they are or what kind of underlying conditions, those usually apply to fatalities, but that doesn't necessarily apply to the other conditions. The other conditions, you can be younger and you can have those types of problems without underlying conditions. It really depends on where the virus goes and where it sets up shop, so to speak, and some of the damage can come from a good immune system, just too many cytokines, and they start creating damage. That's what happens with a lot of neurological diseases. So the virus neurological tissues, and then the immune system starts to attack the virus and then causes the problems. And that can happen with more than, different types of viruses. But this virus seems to cause a lot of different problems that people are coming down with, and somewhat unexpectedly. And that's the reason there's so much concern about it. It's not just, a single thing. You really don't know what to expect. And the damage could be permanent. It's not really clear. It's all real new. And there's just a lot of issues, that's why what Trump is doing is so alarming. He's now doing talking about doing a rally every day, and down the stretch do two or three rallies a day, and he just had his one in Florida tonight, and even the ones behind him didn't have that high frequency of wearing a mask. I mean, some of them clearly had their masks, but they were around their neck, and others didn't have masks at all. And then in front of him, the masks were pretty rare. There maybe 10 or 20% had masks. The vast majority didn't have masks. And it was outside, but they were in a small seated area, I think, or standing. It's hard to tell. They're just on top of each other. So I don't know if they were just standing or sitting. I think a lot of them were just standing, but they were shoulder to shoulder. And cheering along. And, Trump was talking about his immunity, which it's not clear what, if any, immunity he has. The immunity story started with his physician announcing that he had IgG. So that's the type of antibodies that would be neutralizing, except they usually don't show up for 3 or 4 weeks or so. Generally, you start out with IgM. IgM is the initial antibody that's made. You might be able to pick that up in a week or two. But Trump got tested, right after he came in, and he was negative for antibodies. And then right past the weekend, that Monday, he was tested and he was positive. And then the physician announced, that he had IgG antibodies, and anybody paying attention said, yeah, what do you think that's from? And, the guy's a total fool. I mean, he'd been given 8 grams of antibody, and the antibodies he got from Regeneron would register a positive in the antibody test because it's just looking for human antibodies, and they would humanize the antibodies they gave him. And so all they were measuring was whether they actually got the antibody in his body, whether he got his two monoclonals. And so it's hard to say if you're given antibodies, how much antibody you'll make yourself, you know, because you've already got a lot of antibody there. And so it's unclear whether he's generated any antibodies. Number one, it's still kind of early to even measure them. And number two, you're not going to be able to measure them because you got all of the monoclonals there. But the monoclonals don't last for a very long time. I mean, I can tell you the monoclonals is used for arthritis is used in a much lower dose, but you get a shot every week. You know, it lasts a week, and a week later you get another shot. You got a lot more antibody than you get for arthritis. You got about 2,000 times the antibody, so it lasts longer, but it's probably going to only last a couple of weeks. And then as far as people that don't have the antibodies and do get infected and do recover, the data that's coming out now is indicating that that lasts about 4 months or so, so that, you know, even if you're infected and even if you mount an immune response or even if you get the vaccine, chances are that the protection is going to be in terms of months. And Trump's out there telling the rally attendees that, he's got immunity. You know, some people, it says it's for a lifetime. Others says it's for 4 months. But nobody says it's for a lifetime.
I mean, I've never heard that
either.
There's
zero data that says that getting infected with the coronavirus is going to give you lifetime protection.
It's going to take a generation to find out.
No, it's not going to. It's going to take a few months to find out because they've already done it. It's already happened. It's not going to take a generation.
I see.
It's nonsense. Nobody says it except for him. When he says,
I'm sorry, you're breaking up a little bit, Henry. Hold on. I'm not understanding you. That's why I said that. I'm missing words. So go back and restate that.
Okay.
About the length of immunity. 4 months,
right,
I heard.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And that's what it is. 4 months is the length of the immunity based on people getting infected and based on them testing those people for the antibodies. Trump's saying they say it could last a lifetime. They is Trump. Nobody is saying that getting infected with a coronavirus is going to give you a lifetime immunity. Zero people have said that. There's no data for that. There's no data that says it'll last a year. You've got people now that were infected a year ago. Nobody's saying, well, he got infected at the beginning of the year and he's still got antibodies, because it doesn't last that long. You know, they're saying on average it lasts about 4 months. So if it's lasting 4 months, you're not going to have some people that it lasts 4 months, the majority, and all of a sudden other people get lifetime protection. The virus evolves. The protection isn't that long. And he's just, you know, throwing out misinformation to the crowd, and they're believing him. You know, they think, you get infected, you get immunity, and you don't have to worry about the virus anymore. And that also kind of speaks to the vaccine, that, you know, the idea, once the vaccine's available, the virus is going to get under control. Well, if the vaccine only works for 4 months, then,
might be a problem.
That's good. Right. It's just going to be a supply problem just with distributing it. And,
at minus 70 degrees? Yeah.
Right. And require two injections. You know, a month apart. So you're going to, going to take 2 months just to get immunity, and then it lasts a few months, and then you got to go get another shot. So
it's going to run through the whole society sooner or later. It has to. This is no way to stop this. How, unless you can come up with an idea, I have none. How would they stop it? They can slow it, but they're not going to stop it.
It could build up over time. So I mean, it's possible that you could have it for 4 months and then basically get another shot 6 months later and have that last longer, or you know, have it limit the adverse effects so that there wouldn't be as many, because it's not really clear that even if you get infected, whether that's going to give you any immunity for any length of time. It seems that it wears off and the virus can evolve away from it. So if a lot of people have immunity, they're going to, a variant's going to arise and that's going to become dominant. So it's going to be a problem. There's no simple answers. It's not clear that the vaccine is going to, you know, solve it. It might not, you know, be solved for another year or two. So it may take a while. And in the meantime, it could do significant damage. And, it's pretty clear that something as simple as wearing a mask and social distancing are things that help control the spread. And it's also clear that some people just aren't doing that because there's no, you know, they're listening to Trump. I mean, the reason the U.S. has more deaths and more cases than any country in the world is because there's no leadership, there's no plan, and there's too many people that think that it's a hoax or it's a political stunt, and that you know, this mask thing is,
well,
is
it certainly
propaganda.
Has been politicized. It's a real virus, but it's been politicized by a lot of unscrupulous people.
Right, and that's what the problem is. The problem is it's not only been politicized, it's been, you know, divided up. Oh, you know, the you know, red states and blue states, and it's just
absolutely
nonsense. And it's driven by Trump. I mean, he started this with just passing out things like ventilators and masks. I mean, that's something that the government's supposed to do. It's a pandemic. It affects everybody in the country.
We were not prepared. We're still not prepared.
It requires PPEs, and it requires ventilators that are in short supply because it is a pandemic. It didn't start here. That a lot of other countries dealt with it before the U.S. did, because the U.S. is not very close to China. And they went and got the, you know, needed equipment and PPEs to deal with the virus, and it was hard to get it by the time it got here. And instead of basically, you know, getting companies in the U.S. to make the product, Trump said, you're on your own. And, you know, you had to tell him what a great job he was doing to get anything from him. And it was just poorly executed. And there's still no plan. There's no plan for the fall.
That brings me to my next question.
Fall wave.
As we look into the fall and flu season is weeks away, we've got almost 50,000 cases a day of coronavirus being reported.
No, it got over 50,000. It dropped below 50,000 on the weekend.
Okay, yeah, so it's back up to it. I read 49 something or another. I rounded it off. Okay.
Yeah.
So
if
we have a bad flu season, Henry, this is going to create a nightmare, is it not, for first responders, for medical professionals, for HCWs? How are they going to determine, from a flu, an influenza, bronchial, pulmonary crisis to coronavirus? Because we got these antibody tests, which are 50-50. They're not that good. I don't know. It's going to be a nightmare.
It's not an antibody. They do PCR tests. The PCR tests.
Well, I didn't mention that for a reason. I understand. But, I mean, how are they going to get through? They've got now double the crisis level with probably double the number of people who are going to be sick.
Right. That's where the problem arises, because it's already showing up. I mean, there's already problems in the Dakotas. There's problems in Wisconsin. Where the
don't you say Harley Davidson now? Don't you say that?
No, I said Wisconsin and the Dakotas are where they have the highest number of cases and where they've got the hospitalizations that are basically causing shortages in beds. And the problem isn't that they can't set up temporary facilities with more beds. The problem is that they don't have the personnel to manage all of the increase in the patients. And so that's what the concern is that the flu will add to that patient load.
Sure.
And it's just getting started. I mean, that's what Fauci was complaining about. He said, if the numbers were below 10,000 where you're going into the fall, then, that's somewhat manageable, although 10,000 is still on the high side. If it's at 40 or 50,000 and you go into the fall, I mean, the problem is it's exponential. So you can just double that. So if you go from 10 to 20,000, you can manage that. If you go from 50 to 100,000, then everything is swamped and you're out of beds and you're out of personnel and you're out of PPEs and you're out of ventilators and you're out of everything. And then you end up having more people dying just because you don't have the personnel to give them the attention that they require. And that's the whole idea of flattening the curve, so that even if you have the same number of cases, if they're spread over time, they are manageable. If they all hit at the same time, then they're not. And that's likely what's going to happen. I mean, one of the reasons that the talk about the fall wave is that you end up spending more time inside, you end up having more contact, and that's what the virus needs to spread. And then, layer on top of it, you've got all these rallies that Trump's gonna have, and all these people that are too stupid to know that if they go to these rallies and they don't wear masks, there are going to be problems. I mean, they're in Florida today. They're coming to Pennsylvania tomorrow. I think he's got one scheduled for at least every day this week. But he's already talking about 2 to 3 in the home stretch. And, I mean, he's panicking now. And the polls keep on getting worse. And
are you going to the one? Is he coming to Pittsburgh? I want boots on the ground there, Henry. Come on,
It's Johnstown, which is an hour away or so. I mean, it's not that far, but no, I have no intention.
Put on your Biden mask and go. Just go. Just go.
These guys don't have masks. The mask isn't 100%. And to go into these crowds where they're screaming and yelling and not wearing masks, it's just stupid.
Yeah.
And that essentially what is happening in these, and then when they, say, they've identified 9 people in the rally in Minnesota that are positive and a couple are in the hospital. Oh, well, you don't know what that's from. Blah, 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 blah. So So first they say, well, we had these rallies and we haven't heard about any problems. And then when they heard about problems, they said, well, it's not because of the rally. It just happens to be in Minneapolis and they happen to be there, but they probably got, So it is happening. There's no reason for it not to happen. All you have to do is look at the rally and see how many people are wearing masks and how close together they are. And you know that if they're standing shoulder to shoulder and they're there for an hour.
Well, now
two or three,
we know why there were absolutely not one person showed up at the Biden-Harris inaugural appearance in Arizona on their national campaign tour. Those people were too smart. They didn't want to expose themselves, so they stayed home. I get it now.
Rallies are not a good idea. And people going to the rallies are just stupid. So that's the bottom line. And they are getting infected. And, Trump can deny it. But that's what his problem is. Because he's going to talk about he's got immunity, he feels real good, and he go out to the crowd and start kissing people because, he can't have the virus and he's tested negative. Well, his negative test was on that rapid test. And the rapid test, Katie Miller tested positive and, within 24 hours
50-50.
She was coughing. And then she ended up being confirmed. Hope Hicks tested negative before she went to Minnesota, I guess. And she flew back in the back of the plane because she had symptoms already. So these people are developing symptoms and then subsequently being confirmed. And they're developing symptoms within 12 hours of getting a negative on this rapid test. So Trump's doctor said today, well, he's got two negatives in a row now. Well, he has two negatives on a test that's known for giving false negatives. And so it really doesn't say a whole lot. And so he may or may not be contagious, but he may or may not even be over the hump. I mean, he basically was feeling good because he's on the steroids, and he basically had the virus under control because he had all this monoclonal antibody. And monoclonal antibody don't last forever, and the steroids aren't going to last forever. And he's going on these flights every day, it's very possible that he could end up having a relapse, even if he does have the virus down to a low level, because he's just running around and saying he feels great and he's ready to go. But the main point, though, by going to these rallies and downplaying the virus, he's going to lose the over 65 vote. Because those are the ones that are most at risk, and they're just assuming that if he's discounting the virus and behaving irresponsibly by running around, and he's exposing his staff. He went on the plane today without a mask. I don't know who else is on that plane. And even if they're wearing masks, if he's going on and he's not wearing masks and he's contagious, then he's going to infect more staff members. And
22 days.
With the press.
22 days until the election. That's it.
Yeah, I know. People are voting already. I mean, I said it was going to be a landslide, and I think I was being generous. I mean, this is going to spiral out of control. The polls are going to continue to get worse. He's going to get more and more concerned. He's going to, do more things that are just, not just reckless. He's going to do more rallies. He's going to say this isn't a problem. He's running this ad with Anthony Fauci, so he's now in a battle with Fauci. This was Fauci had said something back in April or something, talking about the task force and doing all they could do. And
they put together a commercial with that. I didn't see it.
Right. Well, not only did they put together a commercial, and Fauci is complaining about it because he says he's not political and he doesn't do political commercials, and you know they did that without his approval, and they should really take that down. And then rumor has it they're doing a second one with Fauci. And he says, well, you know, if they do it, it would be very unfortunate if they would do another one, that could very well backfire on them. So I think Fauci's going to get real aggressive about this. And it's misleading. It's taking his comments out of context. They were comments that were made back in April or so. They're not using his other comments, which were saying that, you know, it should have the number of cases down to below 10,000 going into the fall, and that if you have 40 or 50,000, that's in a very bad place for the U.S. to be. And that's what he said recently, and that's what the situation is, that there are 40 or 50,000. The numbers are going up. I think 31 states are showing increases. About 8 or 9 had record numbers on Friday, their highest value they've ever had. Some of the ones that had it under control, like New York, they're getting over 1,000. They're approaching 2,000. I think it's somewhat localized, so they're trying to focus on those zip codes and try to get it under control there. But it's starting to pop up on places that were, you know, down to lower levels, and they're aggressively trying to maintain that. But the numbers are going to go up. It's going to be a fall wave. You've got, you know, kids that went back to school, and you know, they're going to come up with Thanksgiving break, and then, you know, Christmas break, and they're going to move the virus around, and they'll take some precautions, but they probably won't take enough, and they'll pass it on to other family members. And so it's going to be a bad situation. The numbers, I think it'll get up to over 60,000 later this week. It generally goes up during the week. It kind of peaks on Friday or so.
What was our highest average? I mean, what was our highest? Would 60,000 be?
Yeah, I think it got up to, it briefly got up to about 65,000, but that only lasted for a couple of days, and then it dropped down. So there was a little blip that it went up. It was after one of the holidays, I think. And then it went back down, and it kind of was sitting between around 40,000, and then it started going up to 50,000, and then it got closer to like 55,000 towards the end of last week, and then it drops down over the weekend. But even over the weekend, it was around 40,000, a little over 40,000. It was 42,000 yesterday, and it was 43,000 yesterday, and it was 51,000 on Saturday. It's unusual for it to still be up there on a Saturday, because they're not fully staffed, and they're not really counting every, you know, they're not tabulating everything. So the data is always incompletely.
Another quick science thing. What's the latest on any permanent damages? Lung damage? Are we seeing opacities? Heart damage? Have you seen anything lately on that? Long term or longer term? Not long haulers necessarily, but long term neurological damage, kidney damage. What are we seeing? This is really a bother to me. Big bother, big concern.
I haven't heard anything on permanent. I think it hasn't really been long enough, you know, that people have something, and, you know, like you mentioned in the example you gave, some people seem to be okay, then all of a sudden it comes back. And I think they're focusing more on just trying to identify it, figure out how to handle it.
So they're still in uncharted territory with this thing. This is a real nasty SOB of a virus, isn't it? It's bad.
And plus, they have no idea what happens when you get reinfected if you've got some type of damage. If you got something that attacked your heart and you seem to have recovered, what happens when you get infected a second time and it goes to the heart?
That's why I said a long time ago, could you see this having some long-term, I hate to use the word, and I'm not using it politically, some long-term life expectancy shortening from this virus?
Yeah, well, that's what the big unknown is. That's why, the argument that younger people don't die, well, that's true. The fatality rate's significantly lower in younger people, but that doesn't mean there isn't damage, and it doesn't mean that damage doesn't get worse as they go along. I mean, that's one of the issues with all the athletes, that they may recover, but they may not be where they were as far as athletic
abilities. Right.
And
they might be AAA, they may be AA after this thing. We don't know.
Right. And that's why there's that type of concern about it spreading and going through teams.
Okay.
So we'll see.
It'll
be higher on Wednesday. It'll be closer to 60,000.
All right. Okay. All right, my friend. Thank you.
Okay.
Very much.
Talk to you then.
Right.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Good night. Okay. Henry Nyman. And thanks to all of you. Action-packed program tonight. Hope you enjoyed it. We'll be back tomorrow night. Take care.